Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it! Cram it!
Shut up right now!
For
you
God's
shut up.
Sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
the...
Punch you! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello, it's another fine episode of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, he's Rex Hupke, and let's open this week's show with, holy shit, let's start there.
Yes, that seems like a reasonable launch pad for the past week.
Let's use some technical language to describe the last week. Fuckity shitbags, what's happening?
Wowzers! Keep it a
Gee willikers, Batman. I mean, okay. Let us begin with the executive order around travel.
That didn't go over well.
Nope.
With the people.
Nope.
Or at least a good portion of the people.
Nope. I went to the airport on Saturday evening after the show. My producer and I jumped in the car and ran up to O'Hare and parked in one terminal and took the people mover over to the international terminal because we were watching Twitter, and Twitter was like, nope, not going to be able to park at the international terminal. So we went over there, and there was a ton of people.
Big crowd.
It was a huge crowd. And I just whipped out my iPhone and started asking people questions. Why are you here? Why is it important for you to be here today?
Mm-hmm.
And I had some lovely conversations. Some of the audio, like highlights of it, is up on my SoundCloud account. It was fascinating. There was what I thought was cool was that there was such a variety of people there.
Yeah, and you saw that Tribune photo that went viral, which was wonderful.
Beautiful.
With the two
little kids, the Jewish
Muslim
child
kid
and the Muslim child.
Yeah,
yes, beautiful.
Muslim, yeah.
Beautiful.
And I guess now they're apparently having dinner together. The two families are having dinner together.
Of course
soon,
they are.
And, you know, that's,
because
it's
human
really...
beings...
Can get along,
contrary to what the administration and white nationalist Twitter might have us believe.
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting, too, is the efforts to downplay the reaction to the executive order. And
it's
to act
stunning.
Like this is not a big
it's
deal.
No big deal.
Everything went really smoothly. It's like, no, it definitely didn't go smoothly. There's no question about that.
No part of it went smoothly.
Right. Even Republicans are like, you should have given us a heads up on this one. And
yeah,
it was a mess. So
it was a mess
again. And
there were emotions were high there. I mean, it was inspiring to see, especially there was like the corner kind of behind the escalator of like tables set up and volunteer attorneys that were just sitting there with laptops doing all the things. Some had signs that said lawyer in a couple different languages.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful and inspiring to see that group in particular, like people that just jumped into action to help people with the skill that they could bring to the game. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm just going to stand here with a notepad and write things. But I felt like it was really important to get audio from people and ask them why they were there in the crowd. And I asked as many people, like no one said no, everybody wanted to talk. And I asked about the signs people were carrying. I asked, you know, what other grievances do you have with this administration? Which was like a logical question, like a logical second or third question, because a lot of people immediately opened up to talking about that.
Yeah, sure.
A couple that really stuck with me. One was a woman who had a sign with a picture of her and another woman on it. And the sign said, "My 75-year-old mom is not a terrorist." And she was so, this woman was like love in human form. She was so sweet. And she said something like, and she had such a sweet voice, and she said, "My mom is not a terrorist. She said, "My mom has never been mean to anybody in her life. She's certainly not a terrorist."
That's just what a mom who's a terrorist would have her daughter say.
Right.
Let me tell you.
She's been brainwashed. And she was, you know, she said, I'm here today because I'm a proud Iranian American. And I love that country, and I love this country, and I love everybody. And, you know, she said at one point, like, "I'll show up for you, show up for me, let's show up for each other, let's do these things." And she was such a lovely person. And there was a group of teenage boys that were there that I talked to. And we think of, like, teenagers being, like, surly and dumb and whatever. Not even. Like, the young people were so engaged that I talked to, but three boys in particular. One of them got a little emotional as I was talking to him because he – he said, he kept stopping and just looking around. He was like, look around, look at all these people. He goes, these are people that are showing up for my people. And he goes, look at this, this crowd, like, most of this crowd isn't even Muslim, but look at this. And this is so beautiful, like, that people are showing up and being neighborly and standing up for me and my community. And he said, and that's why I get emotional. And he kind of stopped and, like, kind of, you know, dabbed at his eyes a little. You know, after interviewing one guy, another guy turned around and he was like, yo, bro, I got you. And they were like fist bump. You know, it was really cute and really, really sweet. And I talked to a lot of people about being a good ally and what that means. And I thought that was an interesting conversation because the consensus was really like, you might mess it up, but don't think you know what's best for a community that's not your own. And show up. Just show up for people. Showing up's half the battle. And if you screw up, say, I'm sorry, I want to be a good ally. I want to try here and just keep going. And that was lovely.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think that when you look at the total, the reaction and what happened, you saw huge numbers of people who are not directly affected by what happened.
Right, and that's key.
Right, and that's right. And so you talk about allies. I think that's what's so fantastic is that you're seeing people turn out who don't have to turn out. Yeah. You know, they could ignore it if they wanted to.
Right.
It's not necessarily going to directly affect them. It may affect them morally, like in their worldview, and I think that's how most of us feel. But it isn't they don't have a family member who's affected or a loved one or a significant other or whatever. They're turning out because they're appalled by this because
it's
they don't
want. Embarrassing.
It is. It's completely embarrassing.
God.
And globally, I mean, look at the response. I mean, not just and look at the response from companies.
Yeah.
You know, Apple speaking out. You've got all these tech companies, especially, but other companies are starting to follow suit now as well. And
speaking of ads and companies, did you see the Aeromexico ad about walls?
No,
it's beautiful.
Really,
It is a beautiful ad. And I'm you know, I'm not usually one to be much of a like capitalist shill, but like, get on it, Aeromexico. Good job. High five to you. It's beautiful because it's like a voiceover. It's all this beautiful, a lot of black and white imagery of just people interacting. And this voiceover says walls, like borders. What are they good for? They divide us. And it's showing all the things. They even go so far as to show an anti-gay protest and says even, you know, borders and walls that say it's wrong for a man to kiss a man and
wow,
they go there.
Great.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, there's a version on YouTube in Spanish and one in English and both of them are just so stunning and so beautiful.
It's so strange that corporations may be the beacon of hope in all of this, but I think it's really true because they are the way things are moving right now, the way things are being handled with no sense of moderation.
None.
Or trying to bring in people who might oppose some of the policy ideas that are being implemented or some of the people even that are being brought into this administration. It is being done in a way that is forcing companies to sort of pick a side and to plant a flag in the ground because the immigration and the refugee issue here it was pretty much of a no-brainer for companies, any company that operates on a global level. They had to say, I mean, they could not not say something.
Right.
And so which way do you think companies are going to swing? They're going to swing towards the greatest inclusion. They're going to swing in a progressive direction because in some cases they do it because it's the right thing to do. But in other cases, maybe they do it just because it's the pragmatic business thing to do. And frankly, I hope it's the first one, but if it's the second one, I'm okay with that too.
Either one.
Whatever your reason, just do it.
Do it.
And you know what I think will be interesting too is I think the Super Bowl is going to be interesting. I think the ads during the Super Bowl, what you're talking about with Aeromexico, I read, and I can't remember what it was, but there's another ad that's coming that deals with immigration. And I just saw kind of a quick blip on Twitter about it. So I think that you might see some more, you know, of that kind of thing. During those ads, and it's just going to keep happening. So far, this administration is setting it up so that companies may be the loudest, most vocal pushback to what they're doing because they have the platform, they have the voice, they have the influence.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
So interesting to see, speaking of companies, to see how everything went down with Uber during all this. The delete, like... delete your Uber thing going on social media. People are like, yep, I'm out.
Yeah.
Bye. I mean, honestly, I dumped Uber a while ago. I hadn't deleted my account. I had just deleted the app because I just thought their customer service sucked. And they charged me wrongly for something. They moved a decimal point in their favor.
Oh, wow.
And an $8.50 ride became an $85 bank charge. And it took me a while to resolve it. So I was like, damn it, I got to reinstall the app just to delete my shit. Okay, fine. But I did, you know.
You just totally blew our Uber sponsorship that we were angling for on the podcast.
I know. Because you know what Uber loves? Women's voices.
Yeah.
So much. They have done nothing but love, love, love women and our safety and our... And they've believed us and listened to us from the damn start. Yes. So that's been interesting. I took a Lyft and was talking with my Lyft driver about that. And he kind of indicated that some drivers felt the same way. They were not going to be very vocal about it. But it seems like right now, at least in Chicago, most people are driving for Lyft and Uber. But they'll only touch Uber when they will say, like, hey, if you do two rides today, we'll give you an extra $50. They'll only do that to like shake them down for money.
Wow, that's interesting.
But otherwise, they'll go Lyft because they just feel like it's a better deal for the driver. They treat them better. I talked to one woman who, her husband drives primarily for Uber and she drives primarily for Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And they were comparing the screening processes and hers was vastly different than his. His was really like, are you a killer? No? Cool. Let's do this.
You got a car? Got a car and only a small number of knives?
Right. Does your car run? Sweet. Let's do this.
You're in, buddy.
Right, right. So I think it'll be really interesting to kind of see the company roll right now. I mean, gosh, what a fascinating time we're in right now. I mean, it is a... I was talking with a friend of mine who is very, very politically engaged and very, very smart. And I believe the quote that came from that conversation was something like, we are perhaps entering a dark valley of an era, which I think is pretty accurate.
And this seems like, accurate.
And not a person prone to exaggeration or hysterics whatsoever. So I tend to agree with that. I think that's a nice way to put it that we're but I do think that people are I'm heartened by seeing this level of engagement from people, even though some of it is like grossly misguided.
Yeah.
I'm heartened by seeing this many people say, no, not what we're doing. No, no, no.
Some people are starting to call it the Green Tea Party. Have you heard that? Instead of the Tea Party.
The Green Tea Party. No, we can't do that.
Yeah, not good branding, I suppose. But yeah, no, I think, it'll take me a while before I can fully applaud what we're seeing because there's still a part of me that goes, hey, where was everybody at the election?
I know.
I'm still mad about that,
I know.
Frankly. But engagement is good, and you're right, we're seeing it across all demographics,
and I do think
that's really great thing.
Yeah, I mean, let's back up to that. I do think that it's beyond just for me. It's beyond just where the hell were you during the election. It's like I'm quite interested in kind of the longer range thing that led to this because I don't think this didn't happen overnight. This was a bigger, not a bigger play. That's not the word I want. But this was a longer game led to the moment we're in. This didn't just happen because El Presidente decided he was going to go for it. This, a lot of systemic and cultural things and beliefs and attitudes and apathies led to the moment that we're in.
Yeah. And a lot of bad communication, I think.
Oh, terrible communication.
In all directions. I have decided I'm officially sick of the get out of your liberal bubble line because at first I think a lot of journalists sort of were like, wait, what are we doing? But then somebody put it really well in a tweet the other day. Put it really well in a tweet.
Twitter is good for making things like succinct and clear.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it sounds like a really idiotic thing to say in a way, but
this is the new era.
Yeah,
this
right.
This is how we talk.
As we used to have philosophers, now we have tweets.
True.
I believe it was at Horsecrab 97 said. Who said?
That's funny. Like that could be a thing of the future.
Yeah.
Thinking back to the ancient times and year 2017, at Skaterboy 69.
Yes. At Crap Magnet
1973.
Often said. Hashtag Crap Magnet.
Oh, God. We need to laugh today. Because you know what? The The first thing I did today, I need to make a rule for myself because I've always thought, oh, I don't get the blues from social media. I don't get stressed out. But I need to make a rule. Like, I try at least once a day to look at opposition Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'll go pick a hashtag or a person or something that I know is very different than my beliefs, and I will look and see what they're doing. Today I picked, I was looking at white nationalist Twitter.
Mm.
That was probably not the move. You want to make it 6:30 in the morning,
nope.
Waking up. Good morning, yeah. World. Oh, I should kill myself.
Yes. Wow.
Okay.
There's a lot of hatred out there. Yeah, like the... Let's talk about white nationalist Twitter. The Holocaust Remembrance Day thing.
Yeah, not only was this entire executive order around immigration and refugees shitty in and of itself and shittily handled, but it was announced to time with Holocaust.
Remember it. Holocaust Remembrance. Yeah.
Yeah. It was timed with Yom HaShoah, and that sure pissed a lot of people off. Further, that there was no mention of that per se.
Right.
Also pissed a lot of people off.
Well, they mentioned it. They just didn't mention Jews or anti-Semitism in the mention. So the White House released a statement.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've read it.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So it was just...
I read it and hulked out accordingly.
Yeah, it was... And the thing that... This is... And then I think on Monday... That was Friday. I think on Monday...
Again, it's been like a month.
Right. Sean Spicer is still defending the damn screw-up... Or intentional screw, whatever it was, of not mentioning Jews and saying,
yeah.
Oh, well, many Jews were very happy that we did that. It's like, bullshit. Nobody
really?
Was happy that you did that. Conservative Jewish groups that supported Trump were coming out and being like, what the hell?
Yo,
like, what?
Yeah.
So.
But the white national.
Oh, they were thrilled.
Those guys love
yes.
it.
Ebullient, one might
Pepe
say.
Pepe the Frog was given 2 thumbs up on that.
And so this is the thing. And I. You know, I keep trying to be reasonable, but it's really damn hard right
it's
now.
It's getting
because,
harder.
Look, you cannot tell me, given Steve Bannon's history and given the kind of support that they have had from the alt-right, you cannot tell me that the pushing that executive order out on Holocaust Remembrance Day was not intentional to be provocative. And you cannot tell me that the absence of the word Jews or Jewish or anti-Semitism was not intentional. And you can't tell me that the refusal... to step back and say, oh, my God, we're so sorry. We apologize. This was a
right.
terrible oversight, which would have put the whole thing to bed.
Absolutely. Just say, oh, shit,
I
apologize.
Fighting it, and they're doing it to piss people off.
And it's working.
I absolutely believe. And, yeah, of course
it's
working.
Working.
Yeah. There was a amazing thread on Twitter that I retweeted from a Duke University professor talking about our reactionary mm-hmm. behavior
yeah.
and that sort of thing. And what... this professor said, which I thought was so spot on, was that the people in the hardcore Trump supporters, the alt-right folks, are not, they don't care if that executive order on refugees mm-hmm. works or not.
Right.
What they care about is that it hurts
yeah.
liberals.
Yeah.
They want to see them squirm, and they want to see them mad, and they want to see them upset. And that's all that they care about. So there's a huge... And that's the way my sense of Steve Bannon is that's exactly the way he is functioning, is that
oh,
he
yeah.
wants to inflict as much pain and chaos and just general craziness as possible. Not because it's going to help the country, not because it's going to be effective, but just as like pure... It's almost like revenge porn or something like that for these guys. And I think it's really twisted. And the more they do in these early stages... the more I think that is truly what's driving this. And it's really, if so, that's incredibly twisted. Because, it would not have, again, all the drama of the campaign and all the dislike and low approval numbers for Trump, he could have started things off well.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't have taken any effort.
Right.
People would still hate him, but there'd be signs of reasonableness. There'd be Democrats.
There are none.
There'd be Democrats saying, well, you know what? He seems to have tempered a little, you know, he's being a little more reasonable. He's trying to reach out. He's making an effort. So maybe people like me, I mean, I try to be a pretty reasonable liberal person. I don't skew hard, you know, and dig my heels in. I try to say, okay, well, let's see. What can we do with this? And how can we be reasonable? But they're making it impossible because they're being so aggressive. They're being so... I feel like they're sort of taking everything that they do and like running it through an app that makes things more sinister. it's the sinisterizer.
Sinisterfy.
Because nothing is, there's nothing that even remotely kind of, everything is just over the top evil. Right. Sounding and feeling, you know, and that matters.
And my concern, well, I have many concerns. I can't even say my concern anymore because it's one of my many grievances that I will be airing repeatedly is I don't want the conversation about things getting normalized to get lost. I think there's a lot of people that are fairly, I'm going to say, let's say moderate is a wide swath of people, perhaps even a majority of people. I don't know that I totally believe that, but let's say. I'm very concerned because the ante keeps getting upped of what is of what sinister is, because people are even saying it. Just when I think it can't get worse, here's this new thing, here's this new thing, here's this new thing. And people keep going, oh my God, it's only day 12. Oh my God, it's only, you know, I think we must actively fight against accepting, even when we're saying this is terrible and it keeps getting worse, we need to keep remembering where the bar is, even if it's way back there from, I don't know, July.
Right.
We still, not even then. Hell, April? I don't know. We got to remember, where is that bar of normal ass behavior? Because we're so far beyond it.
Yeah.
Where shit is racist and sexist and disgusting and dangerous. And, you know, yesterday was all the 17 bomb threats called into JCCs.
Yeah, that was horrible. And that got very little coverage that I saw, truthfully.
Including one here in North Suburban Chicago that contained a daycare.
Yeah.
And that's how, I was frustrated by how little chatter that got. To be fair, it wasn't a shooting at a mosque that killed six people. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't, no one actually died. It was just the threat of it.
Right.
So, yes, death does take precedence over fearing death when you're reporting a story. But I finally found it on like the JTA wire, and I tweeted that out. And a good friend of mine is a scholar around these very issues of Islamophobia and terror and terror narratives and counterterror and all this. And here I've seen him so actively on Twitter the last several days talking about the executive order, and he paused to respond to my tweet about the bomb threats. And said, absolutely not okay, I stand with you. And I replied, you know, my friend, I stand with you too. Like, we're, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
None of it.
But you know, the Quebec City Mosque, I mean, that, if that was, again, if it was a Muslim who did that.
It would be apeshit right
we'd
now.
We'd still be going bananas over that. And we aren't. And that's
so
ridiculous.
I don't know if you saw, I retweeted Fox News. First time for everything.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Because I added a stick of type to the top of the tweet.
Yeah.
Because I said, what they did is they tweeted, you know, suspect.
Oh, Moroccan.
Moroccan. So, yeah. Who was a witness and cleared.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in an at reply to themselves, much later in that thread on Twitter, I had to dig for it. They at replied themselves as the first word of the tweet. Thus, it's not as visible.
Sure.
Saying, original suspect has been cleared. A second person has been taken into custody. So I was like, hell no. So I grabbed that original one that said the word Moroccan, retweeted it, and added above it, like, it has been 8 hours and you have not corrected this error.
Yeah.
Second sentence was the kid. It was a white kid. You know, the suspect was a white kid with alt-right ties.
Yeah.
Correct it. It is sloppy. And if this administration is going to go after CNN and the rest of us and lump it, this all into this as if there's one media, if he is going to start shit like that, he's got to keep his beloved nationalist Fox News accountable too. Like, why not? If you want Fox News to be your mouthpiece, they should be above reproach on everything. They should be getting it tighter and better than the rest of us. But that is sloppy. That's sloppy. It's propaganda. That whole site, like looking through it, I was so enraged. Just how that was covered. Once you click through and read some of the stories, some of it, once you get through like a really sensationalist lead, is some of it is kind of standard and okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there's always going to be this like super dishy and provocative lead and a totally outrageous headline attached to it. And that enrages me because it's like so many Fox News readers, retweeters, fans, watchers are taking such an aggressive stance against the rest of us in this profession. And I've tried to have conversations about conjecture with people that I know that super love Fox News. And like you rolled your eyes because that's exactly what I was met with, it's not. These are smart people with a smart take. There's misleading information. Like, do you understand like how the slightest, like this example I point to a lot was shortly after Ferguson, there was like a second wave of protests in cities around the country. And Shepard Smith had a bunch of screens up and he's like got his little thing where he can like draw little stylus and he's like drawing on screens. And he was showing a kind of an aerial view of New York City and that protest happening, I think, in or near Times Square. And he circled like a few different people carrying the same sign that was pre-printed. And he said, so this is proof that they intended to riot no matter what. These signs were printed well in advance. And when that landed in the room I was in, there was some nodding. And I was like, no. Anyone who's ever been to a protest knows that certain interest groups will stand there and hand out signs, and anyone is free to grab one and carry it. Further, it's just irresponsible to say, because two people are carrying the same sign standing 100 feet apart, that there was any sort of...
Yeah, George Soros wrote them.
Right. Yeah. It's just irresponsible to believe that those two people are connected in any way other than they both passed... someone from that organization passing a sign. Further, calling a group of people they is terrible.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Like, let's just go there, too.
Sure.
I have so much angst right now because this is so... And I think that's the trouble. And this is my worry, that because there's so much to worry about that is all legitimately threatening, that it feels kind of like scattered, that there's so much to worry about and all of it is urgent. And all of it matters, and we need to stand up for all of it. We need to fight all of it, but it's all, this is day 12. We've got 4 years left of this.
Yeah, the one thing I talked about it just the other day that, and I don't know if I'm right or not about this. I'm wrong a lot these days.
You did totally blow your election prediction,
yeah.
So.
I am wrong.
I'm going to take your psychic card away.
It's going to be the title of my upcoming book. I am wrong. Please read my book.
And then you set yourself for like the trilogy. You're like, I am wrong. The second one is I am wrong often. The third one is I am wrong yet again.
Yes, I am wrong. Still wrong.
Still wrong. The Rex Hupke story.
Right, that will be the collection of all three books.
And then after you've left this mortal coil, someone can write the biography and call it like, so wrong, he's right.
Yes, exactly.
The Rex Hupke story.
Vindication. The level of overreach right now, the level of aggression, in some ways might be good in that I don't. There will be pushback.
Yeah.
The pushback, and you're starting to see it. You're starting to see Republicans pushing back a little bit, not enough, even
not
close,
enough.
But a little bit. And so you're starting to see some rattles, and you're starting to see some leaks about chaos and various forms of frustration. Inside and people being shut out and that sort of thing. So I don't think they recognize yet what this kind of chaos... I think they look at this kind of chaos as it applies to a business or to, you know, in Bannon's case, to Breitbart or whatever. I don't think they quite fully get how it applies to something as massive as our government. And so, and they may not give a crap, which is fine. It's not fine, but I mean, it's whatever.
It's not fine.
No, it's not fine. You know what I mean, though. It's like, that's their
right.
deal.
I hear you.
That's their thing to deal with.
Right.
But the people, other lawmakers, it's going to matter more.
Mm-hmm.
You're energizing the opposition to just an absolute frenzy. And you're also, in the process, really pissing off a lot of your own people in your own party. And you're making it difficult for them. And I mean, I think these guys are going to toe the line, meaning other Republicans are going to toe the line right up until it looks like it might be bad for them. And then they're going to have to start coming around a little bit. So my point is, rather than starting off kind of slowly and wooing people into a sense of complacency, the fact that they've come out with this like blitzkrieg, basically, to use a popular Nazi term.
Might as well.
Yeah, seems to fit. They maybe shooting themselves in the foot, kind of, because I think that it may wind up hampering them because they are intentionally angering,
riling
everybody,
people. Yeah,
but except for themselves and this tiny little sliver of kind of super far right zealots. So they're angering the world right now. I mean, you've seen the reaction from all over the world. People and countries are now saying they don't know if they can trust this guy. They just don't know what to do. And
I'll answer that for them. Call on me. Call me. I'll tell you.
You know, and so
I think it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out in the UK as his potential visit is being so widely contested.
Yeah.
But video from Parliament discussions
fascinating.
It was
fantastic.
So good to watch.
Yeah. I wish we had some of those folks in our governing bodies because they're
like
pretty fired up.
There are really, watch Australian Parliament fights. Those are good.
Yeah, I've seen that.
There
are
some real good ones.
In the meantime, Canada couldn't be any nicer. Jerks.
Well, like Canada's not without flaw. I mean, I've got my issues with some Canadian government stuff, not nearly as many as I have for this country, but nonetheless.
Right now. But they're like, oh, come on, we want you refugees. Come to our show. It's like Justin Trudeau's like tweeting out, you know, like heart emojis. And
I got to think he's just like running around the house like Risky Business style.
Yeah,
right
exactly.
Now, like, who's the world leader with all the woo?
Yeah, everybody just loves me.
Right. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's all bad. It's all bad. And I am. Oh, also, did you see the Black History Month speech that Trump gave this morning?
We talked more about like the MLK bust and himself.
What?
So
he worked CNN in there.
Yeah. I know. Oh, no. Why not? Totally. I mean, and just the media in general. Pumped Fox.
It was
hammered
crazy.
CNN. It's completely crazy. And was it Frederick Douglass he was talking? He was like, Frederick Douglass, he's huge right now. Like, people are really starting to recognize him.
He said, as if he didn't recognize that he is long deceased. He was like, he's doing great, great. Like, he said something in present tense. I was like, did someone tell him that?
Yeah, I think he's like, you know, I don't think he knows quite who that is.
Right, do you know who that is? I don't think you know who that is. Right, that guy, that's my guy. I love that guy. We play golf. Really? You and Frederick Douglass? Really? I don't think that's how that would go.
I call him Freddy.
Right. Yeah, I thought that speech was ridiculous. And so it was very tone deaf. It was insensitive. But again, this is what we expect. I mean, this is when he's speaking to groups of people who are not white men, this is what we get.
Yeah. No, there's not going to be, that's not going to change. There's no, he's not learning anything at this point, I don't think. Did you see also that his campaign paid his own companies $12.8 million over the course of the campaign? $12.8 million. We should start a weekly segment of, imagine if Hillary Clinton had done this, or, you know, imagine if Barack Obama had done this, because there was that, the $12.8 million from his campaign paid to his companies. That is the biggest scam, the most transparent, like just obvious scam I have ever seen in my life. I mean, it's stunning. Can you imagine any other politician pulling that off? I mean, it's absolutely unheard of.
No.
And then Melania now saying that she's going to maybe stay in New York, that she may not move into the White House.
Right. Because originally it was just temporary.
Yeah, it was just temporary.
They were gonna
now
finish the school year, and she's like, no.
And I don't care. I think whatever. But again, what if Michelle Obama had done that? Can you imagine the crap cyclone that would have happened?
I mean, dude, your wife hates you.
Hates you. P.S. She's thrilled.
Your wife hates you so much.
Yes.
So much.
You just became president and were separated from your wife officially. But yeah, it's just, the hypocrisy is, it's stunningly
high
right now. There was the military operation that just happened in Yemen.
Again,
which was horrible. And
we need 6 hours for the show today. There's so many things.
I'm not using this as a cudgel, but just the reality is, it sounds like, there were like 15 women and children killed.
Yeah.
And including an 8-year-old and a Navy SEAL.
Yeah.
And I mean, bad things happen in these operations. I understand that. And so I'm not saying this is Trump's fault. Only thing that I'm saying is if Hillary Clinton was president right now and that had happened, my God, come on, man. This would be like, you know, Benghazi on steroids. They would go batshit insane.
I think it's very funny that when I see people call her, still refer to her as Hitlery.
Yeah.
I'm like, really?
It's over.
who who is more Hitler?
I'm gonna, I swear to God, I have that little picture that I made with the words, "How's that protest vote working out for you now?" with a little pug wrapped in a blanket. And I want to tweet that out every day. I swear to God, it drives me crazy.
I don't want to tweet that, but I do wonder about, you know, I don't feel like tweeting about anything else.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this, mm-hmm. appalled and fascinated. And I do feel like it is my job to correct misinformation when it's presented to me. And I do feel like it is my obligation to share accurate information and I'm not the only person sharing it, but the people that follow me on Twitter have chosen to follow me because they want information. Mm-hmm. And I've even been, you know, like normally I joke around on Twitter so much and sometimes post crazy things, but I even that, like, some of it just doesn't land right now. I like can't even do it. I did tweet about that human ancient ancestor creature that was like named and discovered. It was a creature that it has a mouth and it does not have an anus, and so it, and so it ate and shat from the same place. I did tweet about that. But it felt politically relevant.
There's something spot on about that. We can all relate to that.
And then last night I tweeted, good scotch and lemon heads go together surprisingly well. Just letting y'all know.
That also seems
appropriate. Also seemed appropriate.
You're right. I mean, I think I'm having the same problem with like my columns. I don't want to be a broken record, but at the same time,
I don't want to let it go.
Right. I actually talked to my editor about possibly even writing a column because I almost feel the need to explain myself to readers and say, look, I feel very fortunate to have a platform and I feel very strongly about the things that are happening in our country right now. And so it feels neglectful of me to not write about these issues. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a broken record and I still want to make people laugh and write silly stuff.
But yet these things are upon us.
Yeah, like I wrote something over the weekend about the executive order with the refugees, just for the web. And then when it was time to write my column for Monday and for Tuesday's paper, I wanted to do something different. But I was like, this is all consuming. This is a huge issue. This is affecting people's lives, and I can't just drift off and write some, you know, silly something or other. I really felt strongly like, okay, I got to go at this again. And so, I mean, people who have voices and have platforms are going to find their own ways of doing what they feel like they need to do. But for me, and I know for you too, that's kind of the, like, we got to keep talking and keep, you know, pushing the truth out there.
Right. Even in all the ways that we can.
Right.
I mean, I feel like it's so small stakes, but, you know, somebody was talking about, man, these protesters are all so angry and pathetic. None of them even know why they're there. And I just sent a link along to my SoundCloud. I was like, here, may I offer an alternative perspective? Here are, you know, I don't know, a handful of people that had very good reasons and very well articulated reasons for why they were standing there. Also, it's their right to do so.
Yeah, right. Although I do agree. I think people have been very, both at the Women's March and these protests over the refugees, I think they've been very clear, mm-hmm. and I've been impressed because I'm not a big, frankly, I'm not much of, I've been around enough bad protests that
sure, yeah,
I'm not a huge fan necessarily. Right. We talked about that in one of the shows earlier.
Especially young people. Like, I've talked to some young people that are damn clear about why they're
there.
Like,
and that's
high
great.
Schoolers who are like, no, this policy is not good and this vote is coming and this is my representative and da da da. Like, they're very clear and I love that.
Yeah. And that's where I think Trump and company need to be concerned because my feeling after a lot of years of dippy protests that I thought were kind of scattered and, you know, whatever, and the Iraq war, and just mm-hmm. I thought people were all over the place and it wasn't cohesive. I feel like people are engaged and energized right now, and they also seem very focused. I mean, I'm seeing even in just my own circles mm-hmm. a huge amount of organization and bringing different groups together, stuff like that. So I think there's a lot of activity that I wish had been going on back in November, but it's going on now. So watch out because it can do a lot.
I think people are, I am delighted every time I see someone posting like, hey, I just called or wrote my representative. This is what I said. Or I've seen people tweet and Instagram pictures of their postcards that they're sending to their representatives. Like, here's exactly what I said. If you need a crib off me, go for it. There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot. I'm still highly concerned. You know, if you think back, I don't know, 2 months ago when we were talking about, like, at one point when Trump gave a speech on the campaign trail about, like, shortly before the election, talking about the quote-unquote banking conspiracy.
Yeah.
And all but called, you know, all but...
Wink, wink.
Yeah, all but said Jews.
Who's Jay?
And, yeah, and there was, like, a big uptick in anti-Semitism on social media. I really, like, that was very gutting to me, and I kind of needed a day or two, and I think we were, in fact, recording one of those days I needed to kind of feel gutted, and I'm feeling that again a little bit. I'm a little more determined. I'm a little more like, bring it. I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you to bring that shit in my face. But I still think it's, I really am very concerned about that part, and concerned in a, there are legislative, there are, you know, there are ways to organize and mobilize, but it's very hard to change culture. And even if it's a small minority of people spouting that, it is their right to do so. You can believe whatever the hell you want. It's the acting on it. It's the threats, particularly towards women, that is getting very disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
And it takes mental space that we need to be out doing more proactive things. I don't think it's stopping anybody, but I have heard people say, I'm letting it occur to me for the first time that I might at some point down the road be held accountable in an unfair way for what I say and write. I'm hearing rumblings of that right now. Like, no one said, I will write a column differently or I will do the radio programming differently.
Right, yeah.
But, like, not... I will be responsible for my actions, because I think we've all believed that all along. And we know that if it, hell, we've seen that.
Sure.
It only takes for one person to tune in the middle of your damn sentence on the radio for them to take it out of context and tweet and call you a bitch and whatever. Like, I see that every damn week. But it's a fear, I think, that a lot of journalists are sort of starting to consider, like, what if in this clearly fascist regime that speaking out against it will later be a punishing blow to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. I'll do it anyway. It's
sure.
Worth it to me to stand up for that.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, like, that it's occurring to us.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to, people will say, oh, you're being dramatic or whatever. But
people also said that when people said, shit, I'm afraid he's going to win.
Right. When the writing is on the wall a little bit, I think you got to pay attention to it, and hopefully you're wrong, and hopefully
I'd love to be wrong.
Yeah, hopefully things come around. But of course, yeah, no, the tenor of not all, but the tenor of the some of the negative emails that I've gotten,
it's changed.
It shows a sense of winning among people who are very, what appears to be anyway, very disturbed. I would not call somebody writing and telling me to shove a baseball bat up my ass.
Wow.
Not disturbed, you know? So I think that's an odd thing to write to another person.
Not quite understanding how the entire digestive tract works.
Right, yes, exactly.
I think you can pull that stunt off.
They have not seen my ass, but... because I don't
underestimating your stress levels.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, right, exactly. Especially lately. So, I have had on... I think 4 different occasions over the past like month or so, people refer to me as the enemy directly. Say, you're the enemy, and we are winning, and we will not forget. You know, things like that.
Yeah,
that kind of language.
That kind of language.
And that's...
And it feels gloating. Like, even people that I believe are otherwise moral and intelligent saying things like, these protesters, I swear to God, run them all over.
Yeah.
They deserve to be run over by taken in the street. They're betraying the commander-in-chief. Like, that kind of talk is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the way, like, speaking of the word betrayal, the memo or the, you know, statement released when Yates was fired this mm-hmm. week about accusing her of betraying him.
Like, oh, yeah.
She was defending the Constitution.
Right.
As she was sworn to do.
Yeah.
and she was fired for doing so. Her Wikipedia page within an hour, I'm happy to let you know, said, called her a national hero.
It was a goddamn national hero. It was not just national hero.
That's right. She is a
goddamn national hero. I thought that was fantastic. Oh, but again, that's another perfect example of things are being done with malice.
Right.
He could have just fired her
and let us speculate and
You could have even fired her and said, "Look,
we wish you well. Bye."
This is we have a fundamental disagreement on this issue. Mm-hmm. I did not feel like it was in the best interest of the country for me to have her in this position, and so I thank her for her service. Blah 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 blah. You could have done it that way, and that's why. And that's what I think is going to swing around and kick these guys in the ass, because I don't think, despite all the stuff we were just talking about and the baseball up the ass people and all this kind of thing, that is not most people. It just isn't. You know, this country would be in flames if it was like that. If the really crappy, ornery, ridiculous people were that large in number, or for that matter, had the balls to say this kind of stuff to people's faces, which they don't.
Yeah.
In most cases, anyway.
Some of them.
Yeah, some, but not many. I mean, most of these people, if you, you know, and I say balls because most of them are men, I think. But if you called somebody out and said, "Okay, why don't you come tell me that to my face?" Mm-hmm. I've done that even in emails. That have been anonymous. I've said, "Well, why don't you give me your name?" No.
Yeah.
We won't do it. Blah blah blah.
All right then, suck it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm talking about. So the majority of people are not going to be okay with this for a long period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, they may see it now and say, "Oh, he's just messing things up. He's just being burr. If this kind of stuff keeps going on, if this sort of willfully mean behavior continues, mm-hmm. people aren't going to like it. People have kids, they have families, they have loved ones. They don't like to see this kind of behavior.
I like to think that, but I do think it's also desensitizing people to where the bar of terribleness is. Because again, I've seen some people that are moderate, that are otherwise moral and intelligent people, get swept up in the "our team won" and say things like, "Mow all the people down who would take to the streets in betrayal of the commander in chief," and say things like, "If you vocally oppose him, you deserve what you get." Like, I'm seeing things where we're like, really? Because that doesn't sound like you. You're kind of swept up in this crowd mentality of gloating. My thing where I'm concerned, I often come back to this point when I'm looking at technology and harassment and that kind of thing, is about rights and responsibility. Because we talk a lot about, I have the right to say, you do. You have the right to hate me for being a woman or a Jew or anything. Like, you have that right, and you have the right to say so in public. That's fine. Mm-hmm. You have the right to. I also have the right to tell you to go fuck yourself. But with it, particularly around hate speech, there's a line we need to draw around hate speech and destructive and dangerous threatening speech, that with right comes responsibility, and you in fact are and should be held accountable for the things that you say and the actions that you take. And there's a piece in Tablet a few months ago. It was written like the week after the election. And the headline on it is, "What to Do About Trump, the Same Thing My Grandfather Did in 1930s Vienna." And it's been widely shared. And it's interesting that it keeps becoming more and more relevant as we roll along.
Yeah.
But there's a part in it that I think is really fascinating, because we often say, well, you know, there's so much, you know, there's so many checks and balances that keep the president in order. There's this, but we're yes and no. Like, if a fascist regime comes in and forces and like fires those checks and balances, Yates, you know, things will shift. And if you put in all your own people, it's hard to hold someone accountable if everyone around you is a yes man and in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm very, very concerned about it. But this piece in particular, well, let me say this too. It also undermines the impact that culture has on things. It's not just legislative. It's not just what's on the books. It's also the culture and what you're stirring up and the hornet's nest that you've just kicked. So I want to read this little piece from this article, because I think it's interesting. The first and most obvious is this: treat every poisoned word as a promise. When a bigoted blusterer tells you he intends to force members of a religious minority to register with the authorities, much like those friends and family who stayed behind were forced to do before the horizon grew darker. Believe him. Don't try to be clever. Don't lean on political intricacies or legislative minutiae or historical precedents for comfort. Don't write it off as propaganda or explain it away as just an empty power. Take the haters at their word and assume the worst is imminent. When I first read that, I was like, that sounds like a terrible way to walk around, believing the worst is imminent. But I think the first sentence of that is more powerful of treating you have there. There's no reason why you should not treat every poison word as a promise, because so far they're happening.
Yeah. And happening with
unbelievable speed
and worse than we thought. I mean, not just what we thought
worse, is it,
but worse. Exactly. And I think that's a very wise way of looking at
it. It's a really interesting piece. I mean, there's some there's some structural pieces of it that I don't necessarily agree with, but that particular area that particular passage of it really stuck out to me, of that, you know, we're only placating ourselves by saying, oh, there's checks and balances, there's this.
Yeah,
we have nothing to lose by saying, okay, that could happen, what are we going to do about it?
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. The one thing I would not push back, really, but just sort of add to what I was saying before.
Pushback's okay, because we're friends and I know that you're not going to cut my throat like people on Twitter.
Yes. Yeah, right. Well, that's true. But I'm not afraid to push back. No, this is just more kind of adding to what I was saying before, though, because the people that are being swept up right now, like you were saying, I think every president has that kind of, what do you call it? When you first get in, not a Hollywood phase, but they're
honeymoon phase.
Honeymoon phase. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know.
There's
my screw
phase.
Up. Hollywood. A horn swoggled phase. I don't know. There's my weekly
your
screw
Ross
up.
Perot for
yes.
The day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Check that off the list now. That honeymoon phase, he's not getting it from liberals, but I think he is getting it from Republicans and from conservatives and from people who supported him. I do not think that is going to last. And one of the main reasons I don't think it's going to last is because at the end of the day, most people who voted for him not because they're mean and ornery and racist and horrible. They voted for him because they think he's going to do something for them. They think he's going to bring back the jobs. They think he's going, you know, all this
jobs
kind of stuff.
Jobs that are now obsolete jobs.
Correct. Right. It's all, which is all crap and isn't going to happen. So when that starts not happening, so we get
we need
6 months
to that point quickly.
Right. We get to, you know, 6 months or so into this or whatever.
Right.
And there's all of this chaos and there's this meanness and there's this animosity,
right,
and people are protesting and they're not, and the people who supported him are not seeing the results that they wanted.
Right.
That's when I think you lose that. And that's when I think the sort of angels of our better nature, whatever the, I'm glad I didn't screw that one up. might kick back in.
Might.
Or might not, right?
But here's
Day
12, and I mean, part of me, right away, as you say that, I'm like, we don't have 6 months.
Yeah, and I agree. That's where my argument falls apart, and I do agree with that, because at the rate things are going, we don't have 6 months. This has to happen faster.
Daycare is evacuated, and things like that. A bomb threat is one thing, but it only takes one person to kill people.
Yeah.
As we saw in Canada at the mosque this week, in which 6 people were killed. I don't feel like we have 6 months. I feel like even though I don't think the majority of Americans believe that way and think that way and think racist, hateful things enough to act on it, I am highly concerned about the people that do.
Yeah.
And quite gutted by it. And, like, you know, I find myself waking up at night thinking about that. A lot of people are saying, I feel like I'm seeing a lot of people post things like, how do we exercise self-care right now so we don't burn out?
Yeah.
And I too have been thinking about that, because I'm like, oh my God, another thing. Oh my God. Like, he's not letting us go. Like, this is just this constant treadmill of stuff. And, you know, and I hear that, and we do need to do that. And we should avoid burnout and we should care for ourselves. But I also feel like we just don't have time to think about that. I think we don't have the luxury of that. I really don't. I feel like I don't have the luxury of taking a break and taking my mind off it when literally, like, lives are at stake. I can't not be emotional about that. But
yeah, no, I to see hatred, if not winning, claiming victory.
Right. Believing it's winning.
That hurts.
Yeah.
A lot. And that's what, at the end of the day, this is not about policy so much
No.
for me.
No.
And I'm perfectly fine to sit back and say, you know, Republicans won this election, and they
sure.
have a right to implement the kinds of conservative policies that they want to.
That's what every administration does. You
right.
put in your own people and your own policies, for sure.
But what I don't like right now, as and we've been hitting on this a lot over the course of this show, is things are being done with malice.
Yeah.
Things are being done in a way that is sinister and lifts up bad people and makes them feel powerful. These, if you are a Nazi, if you are a Nazi adjacent or Nazi, you know, in any way,
friend of Nazi, whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever you want to call yourself.
Nobody should be lifting you up or making you feel powerful because you are not.
Again, you have the right to say whatever the hell you want. You
right.
have the right to hate whoever the hell you want.
Right.
But it's when people's lives are put in danger, mm-hmm. when hate speech, when recruiting young people and brainwashing, they're like, no.
Yeah.
I don't feel compelled to be patient. I don't want dialogue. I don't give a shit about dialogue with hate speech.
Right.
I don't want it. I don't care. Like, I actually, like, kind of across the board, dialogue is kind of like, meh, whatever. This is a time for action, not dialogue. I kind of cannot deal with dialogue right now.
Right. I mean, dialogue comes between people who have reasoned and thoughtful opinions. And I don't like Jews is not a thoughtful or reasoned opinion. It's horseshit.
Right.
And so,
right.
and it's hateful and it degrades our society and everything about it. So there is no reason to stay. The never again phrase isn't just window dressing. I mean, that means something.
It has to
mean something.
It should.
Yeah.
I feel like we throw it around a lot. And, you know, a lot of conversation is going on right now about whether or not it's okay to punch a Nazi.
Yeah.
I wish I could make the audio equivalent of the look on my face right now.
Yeah.
You know, I have never really talked much about this, but I did on Twitter because I was pretty pissed about what I was seeing, the conversations I was seeing around there, around that conversation about Richard Spencer being punched in the face.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of remixes on YouTube that are kind of funny.
There's
like the 1812 overture. And normally I'm like, you know, let's not resort to violence. Let's be moral and intelligent people. And you know what? A handful of years ago, there was I had an incident in which someone pretended to be a just regular ass person at a social gathering and tricked me and tried to harm me, and that person did so in the name of white nationalism. And I was able to get myself out of that situation, not totally unscathed, but, you know, a little banged up, but I got out of it. And it was terrifying. And I, at no point was that man going, he did not give a shit about dialogue.
Yeah, of course not.
He made it very clear to me. His goal was to hurt and destroy me.
Mm-hmm.
That was very clear. And so I don't have a ton of patience for that. We should sit down and talk out our differences and find common ground. No.
No, not.
In that moment, my only concern was saving my life.
Right.
Literally, getting
Jesus
out of
Christ.
That situation. And I've not talked about that for years because, you know, it's not something that, like, hovers over me and that I'm, like, terrified of all the time. And I honestly don't even think about it much until, like, this whole conversation came up about... And I saw somebody, I opened my Twitter app and I saw someone say, I don't care how hate-filled someone is, you should always sit down and try to talk to them. And they were talking in particular about Richard Spencer and condemning the person that punched him. And I was like, I'm not saying walk a mile in my shoes before. And I'm not saying, I got off really easy. Like, holy shit, I got out of there really, very easily. Nonetheless, at no point was that person going to reason with me. I was not going to reason myself out of it. I was going to have to use force to get out of that situation, and that is what I did.
Yeah, that's horrible. And
so,
I mean, there is a point where people are far beyond reason. And absolutely. In my opinion, somebody thinking that
an entire group of people should be destroyed.
Right. That's beyond reason.
Beyond reason.
And you're a fucking lunatic. I mean, that's it. I mean, I have nothing. There's no comment. There's no, hey, let's hug it out. There's no, let's figure this thing out. No, I don't agree with it.
No, I think I'm a pretty compassionate human being.
Yeah.
I don't feel compassion towards hate groups.
No.
Well, this is the episode in which we start getting all the targeting.
Wow.
Good times. Well, there's a lot, and I feel like we still didn't get to so many of the things, but I would like to leave on an uplifting note.
Oh.
There is a Twitter account called @WinnieDancing, and it is an animated Winnie the Pooh dancing to many different songs. All they do is tweet out videos of Winnie the Pooh dancing. Cotton Eye Joe by Rednecks is a pretty good one. There's a lot, though. There's there's a bunch of good songs of Winnie the Pooh dancing, and you can DM them and request one. They haven't given me a Smith song yet, but
oh, man.
We'll see.
If America ever needed anything right now, it needs this. It
needs
like
Winnie the Pooh dancing. Also, I recommend Samoyed Bot. It just tweets pictures of Samoyed puppies.
Oh.
That's it.
That's nice, too.
That's all. And I've unfollowed a lot of stuff that feels like extraneous noise. Like, some brands have felt tone deaf to me. Like, I can't think about a sale at that. Like, I can't even think about this sale or this thing or this store. Like, ugh. Even like some business publications that I like a lot, like I got to mute them right now. I've only got to focus on this. But I keep Samoyed's Bot and I keep Winnie the Pooh because we need a little, like once in a while, a little like, oh, it's a puppy. Okay, back to action.
I have noticed a dramatic uptick in adorable animal pictures and videos being shared. And I think that legitimately, I think that people are just being like, okay, let's look at this baby otter for a moment, please. And you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
I do think that people have to find ways to maintain their sanity in all of this, and perhaps short little things like that are a good way to do it during a time when we need to be forceful, as you're saying, you know, and not let up.
Also, I'm cheering for the bobcat that escaped from the DC zoo. Like, she was, I can't remember her name, but it's a female bobcat.
Yeah, they've suspended the search, so I think that she's in the wind.
Of course she's in the wind. She's
made it to Mexico by now.
Yo, I am not down with anything that's happening in here. Yeah. I'm out. Bobcat out.
We are all that bobcat right now.
And like, they were showing a picture of her, and I didn't want to be insensitive, but I was going to retweet them and add something like, my girl knows what's up. She knows. Girl, I'll see you at the sisterhood meeting. Bye, girl. You do it. Do your thing. You know your mission. Go.
Team Bobcat.
I'm totally Team Bobcat. Well, anyway, well, this has been an emotional roller coaster of an episode. But again, it is not a time to let up. It is not a time to take things lightly. It is not a time to sit idly by. In fact, there's a lot at stake and a lot of things. And let us find the ways, whether that's Bobcat pictures or Winnie the Pooh dancing or badass music or whatever, let us find the ways to keep ourselves moving. Let us consider that it's important to address things even when they do not directly affect us and the group that we are a part of. But in fact, they're addressing they're hurting everybody. When one person is oppressed, we're all oppressed, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
So let us consider that. Anyway. Let's see what the week ahead brings. We will be back next week. Guth and Hupke on Politics.